Welcome to Regenerative Medicine Today. This is John Murphy, and it's my pleasure to have as our special guest today, Joan Shank. Joan is the Director of Education and Workforce Development for an organization called the Pittsburgh Tissue Engineering Initiative. Joan, welcome to Regenerative Medicine Today.
Hello, Mr. Murphy. Great to be here.
And I would perhaps ask you to begin by introducing our audience to the Pittsburgh Tissue Engineering Initiative.
Well, I'd be delighted to. The Pittsburgh Tissue Engineering Initiative emerged roughly in 1993-94, and it was an organization that came about really, it was a regional effort from a group of scientists, engineers, community leaders, government officials who really recognized that in the Pittsburgh region specifically, that we really had a lot of competencies and capabilities within the field of tissue engineering and regenerative medicine, really born out of our academic research institutes, Carnegie Mellon University, University of Pittsburgh, Duquesne, etc. And what they were interested in was concentrating those efforts to advance the research base within tissue engineering and regenerative medicine. In 1997, the Pittsburgh Tissue Engineering Initiative became a formalized 501c3. And at that time, we articulated a very specific mission, which was to advance the field of tissue engineering and regenerative medicine in southwestern Pennsylvania and worldwide through targeted programs that would support research, education, facilitate interactions among academic medical centers and research centers, regional government and industry. But at the end of the day, it really was about translation and new patient therapies.
Very interesting. I have to say that while Pittsburgh Tissue Engineering Initiative is known regionally, it's certainly also recognized around the world for some of the very fine programs. Now, in your particular case, your interests are in education and workforce development. So perhaps you could introduce us to your interest and the initiatives that you're responsible for.
Certainly. As I mentioned, education has always been a component of our mission, and in fact, in the NSF app report, Emergence of Tissue Engineering as a Research Field, that was completed in 2004. The report was really begun in 1999 and 2000. And as you said, the Pittsburgh Tissue Engineering Initiative, although originally developed, born out of regional interests, really did emerge as an international leader. As I said, education remained a critical component of our mission, and within that report really recognized a lot of our programming, a lot of our efforts focused on training at that time postdoctoral fellows, undergraduate students, and introducing the general public and informing leaders about the field.
Yes, I think that's particularly interesting in terms of what I call the dynamic range of your educational initiatives, that you basically go from general public through elementary school all the way to postdoctoral trainees. We've had the pleasure in previous podcasts to have many scientists who have discussed their particular initiatives relative to tissue engineering and regenerative medicine. While your interests are in the same area, you come about it from a completely different perspective in terms of educational initiatives. Perhaps you can introduce us to that particular area.
Well, as your previous guest, I mean, we chatted about this, John, earlier. A lot of the other podcasts really, go into quite a lot of detail about specific applications of tissue engineering and regenerative medicine. In many ways, the spectrum of educational opportunities available, I mean, they do become very detailed at the higher levels, but, at the ground floor, our interest is really simplifying tissue engineering and regenerative medicine for everyone, and basically conveying that what we're doing within the field isn't something entirely, out of the box. Basically, we're building upon basic biology and humans' ability albeit limited to regenerate, but introducing components of the field that are seeking to address and further humans' ability to regenerate.
So that's very interesting, but if we can translate this in terms of some of your current initiatives, I know that you have a tissue engineering summer camp that's very widely recognized, and I believe you have participants from not only the region, but from other parts of the country as well. Can you describe that to us, please?
Yes, we're very excited about the Tissue Engineering Summer Camp. That camp focuses on engaging middle school students, exposing them to the field. And one might think that, you know, what can an eighth grade, a sixth, seventh grade student possibly do? How can they appreciate these concepts within the sophisticated field? But as I said previously, what we try to do is we really try to simplify a lot of the concepts and engage students in actually doing science. And there's the internet, the TIMSS report, which is Trends in International Mathematics and Science Study, 1999 report, really indicated that the U.S. Was falling off drastically at the eighth grade level in testing in science. Our students were ranked 18th. And the reason, so they didn't just, you know, present these findings, they also looked at the curricula and educational approaches in these other countries, and they found that what we were doing, instead of engaging students in the scientific process, what we were doing first was overburdening them with lots of information, lots of factoids, and sophisticated language, and the students weren't really appreciating the application of science and how science is really conducted. So, in thinking of these problems, we developed the Tissue Engineering Summer Camp and introduced students. Basically, I mean, there's nothing that students are more interested in than themselves, and we know that the field, the goal of the field is to tap into the body's own ability to regenerate tissues, organs that have been damaged by disease, trauma, etc., but inviting students to understand perhaps from a sports approach, perhaps a football hero has some sort of injury to his or ACL, and the body's response to repair that, and how tissue engineers are trying to, through strategies utilizing cells, scaffolds, growth factors, are trying to enable the body to self-repair. Talk a lot about the body's response to repair and scarring, and the so introducing the topic in a way that relates to themselves, that relates to their everyday life, and then looking at the specific strategies that tissue engineers might use.
So I understand that training sessions are typically, what, a week long, and they're very hands-on.
They're incredibly hands-on. You know, each day that they're, you know, they visit many of the labs, and they're exposed to some of the more sophisticated technologies. They do plate cells there, but they also do a lot of the activities in a what really is a general classroom, such as a bone building activity, bone strength activity, what they can use with just, you know, regular materials. But what it really does is, it, you know, it's interesting because old school, John, you and I, you know, we kind of did these things in silos. You know, we took a biology course, we took a chemistry course, and we didn't appreciate the relevance and the connections of these different disciplines to one another. But what we really try to do in the summer camp, as well as all of our educational initiatives, is to make the connections for the students so they can appreciate, you know, why it is that they might need to learn about developmental biology, and then also from a structure function sort of perspective, what type of engineering and design principles might one consider, and the need for professionals, scientists, engineers, etc., to be able to work together and, you know, appreciate the work of one another. And, you know, another component of the camp is the students are broken into teams to achieve these particular problems or projects that they're working on.
Okay, so, you know, how can I participate, or how can I as a teacher get, for example, the teacher's manual, is that available to people?
Yeah, absolutely. As well as the summer camp, you know, what we've done is when we introduced the camp, what we also felt, we had some instructors, teachers, different school districts that came to us. The students weren't able to participate, but they wanted to have access to some of the activities. Maybe they'd incorporate into the classroom. I don't think that they developed a summer camp per se, but what we did is we just did a summer camp on a disc. And so all of the activities are included on the disc. Now, a lot of, in the camp, you know, we have a lot of guest speakers that come in and introduce the topics. There are field trips that the students take during the day. And what's really very nice for us here in Pittsburgh is that, you know, we have access to, you know, the Bone Tissue Engineering Center at CMU, and we can go to the Institute for Complex Engineering System. We can come here to McGowan and visit, you know, Steve Badalak's lab and Dr. Vorp's. So the students have access to that. But what we'll do in a summer camp on a disc before, you know, kind of the activity and then kind of the overview from whatever particular area that the student is being exposed to in the camp, we offer alternate suggestions on the camp. You know, we provide their contact information, and so they might perhaps be able to maybe later schedule a visit here or eliminate that. But that summer camp on a disc, it's free. It's on the website. Folks can download it in a, you know, in a downloadable form. Because, you know, we're really interested, committed to our educational mission, we're contacted by more students and parents than unfortunately we can accommodate. So we do ask for a small fee if you want an actual hard copy of the disc, and it's $5, and it really just covers production costs. But all of that is available on the website at www.ptei.org.
If I were to try to categorize things, you've got a number of recurring activities like summer camp. Mm-hmm. That you take people from around the country?
We do. The only issue with that still is we don't have the housing capacity and the staff capacity to keep those kids, you know, from out of state. But they are eligible. We've had families that, you know what, last year we had was from Buffalo, a kid from Buffalo whose parents contacted us, wanted their child to attend. The whole family came down, made a trip of it. Jeez. Fortunate, that's also to reach all students. That's not something that's feasible for, you know, every family to do. So
Joan, you've talked about some of these initiatives, and we briefly introduced the way you have these packaged. And let me just, for the sake of our audience, recap what I believe is your inventory of products and services. First of all, you have a number of recurring initiatives like the summer camp that you've made reference to in the previous part of this discussion. Secondly, you have a variety of materials that are available and suitable for students and some for teachers as well. Third, you have some teacher workshops that you conduct, at least in this region. And last, but certainly not the least important, is that you're managing a major initiative to develop a science center exhibit that is intended to travel around the country. And there's also some to be designed in this as linkage to a variety of classroom and activities. So first of all, let me say to the audience, we'll list this inventory of materials on regenerativemedicinetoday.com, and perhaps you'd like to share any additional comments about any of these items I've mentioned?
Yeah, John, I think it's important, in cataloging those. I mean, what the programs you're focused on really are programs at the K-12 level, and I think particularly for those out there who may be interested in pursuing or having access to these opportunities. We're exceptionally interested, and also from a research point of view, an educational research point of view, and looking at how learning occurs across informal and formal learning environments. And, you know, that being said, all of these materials, all of the workshops, they are aligned with national standards, NSES standards, as well as Pennsylvania Science and Technology standards. As well, our workshops, our outreach isn't restricted as the organization. You know, we were a regional initiative, but we do national workshops. We're regularly present at NSTA and NABT, and our teacher attendees in this region, they do receive in Pennsylvania, it's Act 48 credits. So these courses and educational resources are all, you know, fully accredited and standards-based. You do refer to one project that I'm particularly excited about, and that project is funded by the National Center for Research Resources, and it's a Science Education Partnership Award. And it's for a project that's entitled, If a Starfish Can Grow a New Arm, Why Can't I? And the exhibit targets middle school students and the general public. So it goes back to sort of that pipeline issue and that gap in middle school education, which we're seeing at the high school level, as well as folks pursuing science and technology degrees. I think it's like 18 through 24 in the U.S. We've dropped to 17th in the ranking. It really tries to engage those audiences. At the centerpiece of that project, If a Starfish Can Grow a New Arm, Why Can't I?, is a Science Center exhibit, and we're fortunate enough to have the development component of that exhibit being conducted by the Carnegie Science Center, which is an exceptional science center in the Pittsburgh region. You know, several awards through the White House, et cetera, and recognized for their informal education. So they'll be developing that component. And what's kind of neat about that project, in addition to the Science Center experience, there's also rigorous connections to the classroom. So learning doesn't stop there, and it doesn't necessarily have to start there either. I mean, it's integrated, but we have classroom connections with a group in Pittsburgh that's called ASSET, and that's Achieving Student Success Through Education and Teaching, and they serve all 501 school districts in Pennsylvania in elementary science, and they're moving very quickly into middle school education. And what we're working to do is identify these jump-off points in the curricula that connect to the exhibit, but not exclusively to the exhibit, that also where the jump-off points are in the curricula that can be connected to tissue engineering and regenerative medicine and working to develop enhancement materials. Now, what's really neat about that, we all know that teachers are overwhelmed in the classroom and that, you know, there's a lot of criticism about we don't necessarily need more curricula, but we need more science process, and we need more application to the real world and problems that are trying to be solved in the real world. So what's neat, we're really primarily developing activities, and ASSET, they do the professional development for all of the teachers in the school district, so we're able to provide those teachers instructions and ongoing support about, you know, what is the appropriate, accurate way to introduce these concepts into the classroom. Further, ASSET is not the only, I mean, ASSET uses nationally disseminated materials, and if you're in the field, you know what some of these are, CPUP, FOSS, Diversity of Life. So the plan is for this to be able to go, you know, to go national. And so we have five other museums that will be picking up the traveling exhibit component, and those were strategically selected because each of those sites have ASSET-like organizations that ASSET works with, so we can do the curricula piece.
Joan, this is really fascinating, and I've actually had the pleasure of seeing a glimpse of your Starfish project, so I share your excitement and your enthusiasm. We've covered a variety of issues here today, and there is an extensive PTEI website that has substantially more information. And I remind our listeners that's at www.ptei.org. In summary, in terms of this discussion, I'd just like to remind our listeners that under Joan's leadership, the PTEI program covers public education, K through 12, a very interesting and exciting undergraduate program that focuses on a summer internship type activity, and a postdoctoral program, all of which There's more information on the PTI website about. So I'd like to thank Joan again for joining us. I'd like to thank the McGowan Institute for Regenerative Medicine that sponsors these podcasts. And I look forward to joining you in 2 weeks with another exciting discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, John. but that repair is not necessarily perfect. And so what scientists are trying to do is perfect that, so they're introduced to, muscle, bone defect, and the students then are challenged to think about how one might repair it. And then they also look at structure and function, so they do a dissection with a chicken leg. And immediately then they move on to the next principle in tissue engineering, which is the biomaterial, the biodegradable matrix. And so they develop a scaffold, then they do a scaffold diffusion activity. We could go on and on, but that's pretty exciting. And particularly in science classes, from the diffusion, so they can see how the growth factor diffuses across the scaffold.
Okay.
They have to do a standard.
Let's just capture. Let me do an introduction or a transition.
Okay.
And then you can do that.
Okay.
So this is a discussion about the summer camp. Joan, I know that you have many activities in the summer camp that you've introduced us to, but perhaps for those that have interest in more details, can you just briefly elaborate